Hey, we are talking this morning where stewardship and finances are concerned about a place called home, a home ownership. Do we rent? Do we buy? And I know, you know, with spring not all that far away, really, some people might be shopping for homes. Brad, where do we even start?
Well, like you said, it is that time of year when the housing market does start to heat up a little bit. Typically, that happens in February. People like to be shopping for homes so that when kids get out of school, then it's that moving season over the summer and they can get established before school starts again. So the place to start, we can start in a lot of different places. One of those things, if you're considering buying a home, is, and even if that's a couple years out, is making sure that you're getting your financial house in order. So when you go looking for a mortgage, that's one of the first things they're going to do is pull your credit. So make sure that you're getting other debts paid off and that you're at least making current payments. So if you're missing payments now, that's going to hurt your credit score, which ultimately hurts your potential to be able to buy a house down the road.
Well, Brad, I know when I was a lot younger and I was starting to travel around and doing the radio thing and then moving from city to city every few years, so many people would tell me you really need to land somewhere where you can have home ownership. Renting is just throwing away your money. Is that true?
It's one of the things that I would call a common myth, because renting can, it maybe in the long run, if you're going to be staying in the same place and you know you're really planting your roots there and you're going to be there for 20, 30 years, then it probably makes sense to eventually buy a home and start building the equity in a home. But renting can serve some important points in your life. And one of those is, if you're new to an area, I would tell people to rent to start with, because if you've ever moved, you know that you learn a lot about that neighborhood or that town in the course of those first couple months that you're there. And if you can rent rather than actually planting your roots and then wish you hadn't established in a home, that's a valuable service that renting can provide. And, you know, that other thing of renting, throwing away money, you got to realize there's a lot of things that you aren't responsible for as a renter that the owner is.
Mm-hmm.
So if something breaks, you can call the landlord and they have to come fix it, because that's their responsibility as the owner. You're not paying property taxes. You don't have to insure the property. You don't have the weight of the full mortgage riding on you either. So as long as you can make your monthly payment, that's really all you're responsible for. And when the lease is up, which may only be 6 months or a year long, you can pick up and move on and you don't have any bigger obligation. Where if you actually went in and bought a house, later regret that you bought that house, or for maybe it's job reasons or other reasons you have to move on, now you got a home you got to sell, and there's a big mortgage on that home. And ultimately, if you're in a position where you have to sell a home and you have to sell it quickly, then it may be tough to get all your money back out of it that you put into it if you haven't been there for very long.
You know, as a single person, for me, I'm a happy renter because, I don't know, I'm not a handy person around the house, so I like having somebody else be responsible for those things. And for me, that just always made sense. But you talk about in an article that's on your website, Brad, investingintruth.com. I've got this in front of me. You say you recently had a conversation with someone that lost $50,000 in the 3 years they owned their home. Talk a little bit about what happened there, because you say it's also a myth that buying home is always a good investment, and you kind of touched on that just a little bit, but can we look a little bit deeper into that?
Yeah, it goes back to the whole idea of, you're looking at a home as an investment. With any investment, we have to match up the time period that we're going to be holding this investment and looking at the investment itself, and does that time period make sense? So if you consider all the costs of buying a home, you've got closing costs to get into the home. You're probably going to do some repairs on the home when you first go into it, because not everything is likely going to be exactly how you want it. You may be buying furnishings for the home. And then on the back end of it, if you're going to sell it, then you may have a realtor commission. Again, you may have some additional closing costs to get out of it, moving expenses. All those things play into things that you have to recoup to be able to move on and move into and out of the home and actually get your money back or make a profit. And situations can change. So we've seen housing prices go up quite a bit here recently, and I've certainly noticed that here in our area, because as people get comfortable with the economy, they're willing to spend more for a house. They're not as worried about what's happening to my job, or am I going to have the money 6 months from now to be able to pay this, because they've gotten comfortable with their economic situation. And when that's the case, we never think about the fact that house prices can actually go down. Now, as a long trend, we see home prices continue to go up. And part of that's because inflation takes place, incomes go up over time, all, you know, most values of things go up over time. But there are those brief periods of time when values can drop, and they can actually drop pretty big. And it kind of reminds me of the situation back in, I believe it was 08, 09 in northern Indiana when the car business got hit really hard. The economy really went down, and places like Elkhart and towns like that in northern Indiana, home prices were just dying because the economy was dying. And as people were losing their jobs, people were not looking to go buy houses. And as people were moving out of the area to try to find jobs, the house prices were going down. Nobody was in the buying side of it. It was really easy to lose money in the short term. If you had bought a house, even in the last 5 or 10 years, you could have lost money on a house.
You know, Brad, when we're getting ready to buy a home, you know, I'm sure there are a number of people right now listening to you who are probably going online and looking at different real estate websites and cruising past homes, and they're ready to buy. How can we know how much to spend? And I ask this because I want to tuck this in here with my question. A few years ago, I had a young friend, newly married. He and his wife were, they wanted to buy a home. They didn't want to rent, and they decided they would build. And I kept telling them, you've got to figure in utilities and all these other extra expenses once that thing is built, because the home builder said, they looked at their budget and said, well, you can afford this amount. And I said, I don't think you can do that. And it became disastrous.
Yeah. There's a lot of cost to home ownership. You've got mortgage costs, you got the property taxes, you got insurance, you got to factor in maintenance. There's a lot of things that maybe even if you were a renter, you may not be used to paying. So as a homeowner, you're going to have to factor those things in. Now, I do want to take one step back, because a lot of people start with that question of what can I afford? So it's kind of like walking onto the car lot. Ultimately, you're going to end up buying the most that you can afford. I like to start, especially from a Christian perspective, with what do I need? And I start with that question because I shouldn't always be spending every bit of the money that I have. God may have better purposes for the money he's putting in my hands than me buying the biggest house I can possibly buy. So I like to start with what do I need? And as I evaluate what is the house that I need, then going and looking at how much is that house going to cost, the one that would fit my needs, and then can I afford that house? So you start looking then at what would I have to borrow, how much would that cost me, how much are property taxes, how much would it cost to insure this property. If it's an older house, then I probably need to factor in a higher amount for maintenance going on each year. So the kind of the standard rate that I see people estimate for maintenance is about 1% a year. And while there will hopefully be lots of years where you don't have to spend as much as 1% to put into the maintenance of the house, there will certainly be those years that are going to be higher than that when something big breaks. So if you have to put in a whole new heating and air conditioning system, it's going to cost you more than that year. So you have to factor in those ongoing maintenance costs. And when you step back and say, okay, here's the house that I feel that my family needs, this fits our needs, I feel like this fits into our budget, then you can feel like you can go forward with it. If it's not going to fit into your budget, then you have to readjust and say, okay, what am I going to have to do? Do I need to wait on buying a house? What can I do to fit my current need with my current budget? Because you don't want to overextend yourself. And one other important factor in buying a home is making sure that you have some kind of an emergency fund, so you have some cash reserves, because there will always be those what-if moments. When you're renting, you still have what-if moments, mm-hmm. but not as many or not as big as once you're a homeowner. So as we talked about before, that emergency fund is that debt avoidance fund, and we better have that in place when we go into a new home, because there's always going to be those what-ifs that could push us into debt if we don't have the emergency fund established.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because we're just about out of time, but I wanted to ask that before we let you get off the phone. It is different when you get into home ownership, because then the expenses are going to be greater. You're responsible for whatever needs to be fixed. How much of an emergency fund should potentially new homeowners have in reserve before they even put the down payment down on a house?
Well, that's a tough one, because the newer homes are going to have less that would go wrong with them. An older home, if you're looking at a home that's 15, 20 years old, you can have a lot of things go wrong. And you really need to look at the home and the age of things and be able to put in a guess of when, you know, how close are you to the life expectancy of these things? If your water heater is 10 years old, well, you probably don't have a lot of usable life in that. Hopefully you do, but you may not. Your heating and air conditioning, is it 10, 15 years old? You may be nearing the end of that life. The roof is another big thing. So that thing could cost you $10,000, $15,000 to replace the roof on a house. That's a huge expense. So you need to be considering in all those things and even kind of building that expectancy of, oh, well, in the next 5 years, these are the types of things that could likely come up. And the more things that are on that list, the bigger that emergency fund needs to be. But at a minimum, I would say at least a few thousand dollars you would need to have, just because appliances, things like that, you're always going to have something going wrong. And that's why it's so important, too, to not be committing all your cash flow, because when those things come up, maybe you can, even if it forces you into some debt because it was completely unexpected, hopefully it's debt you could get rid of pretty quickly.
And I know that you'll have the information we've been talking about posted on your website, Brad. For those of you that would like to learn more, there's more material here in front of both of us than we have time to talk about. So do go to Brad's website, investingintruth.com, to learn more about what we've been discussing about home ownership versus renting. But Brad, real quick, too, again, because it's still early enough in the year, and I know there are people out there trying to get their finances in order and maybe hitting some bumps. We all do from time to time, but you've got a great program laid out in boot camp. Summarize that for us again real quick.
Yeah, so if you go to my website, investingintruth.com, at the top you'll see a tab for financial boot camp. It's a year-long course that I teach, but I've really written it so that it can be kind of a walkthrough by yourself. And I start with the basics of how do we position God versus our material possessions. I go into debt, how to get out of debt, how do we set our lifestyle and our spending, giving, and it's just a progression throughout the year, all based on Scripture. So hopefully it is a blessing to those that can go and just kind of walk through that or even hit topical areas that you're interested in.
And you'll find all of that at investingintruth.com. Hey, Brad, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks. You have a good one.
Hey, you too, Kelly.